Welcome to Component 4, which as you know is entitled Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This unit is made up of 5 parts. Each part or segment is approximately 20 minutes in length. This is specifically Unit 7, Part 5, which has the title Networks and Networking. This is the last segment for Unit 7. In this unit, we have covered a number of objectives, all of which are listed on the slide in front of you. We discussed unit objectives 1 through 8 in parts 1 through 4. In part 5, which is our current discussion, we focus on concepts related to the last objective listed. As usual, I'll read all of the objectives listed and focus on the one that relates to this part. And so, taking it from the top, after completing this unit, we want to walk away with the abilities to understand the history of networks and their evolution. List and describe the various types of network communications. List and describe the various forms of network addressing, including DNS. List and define the different types of networks. Describe different network topologies. List and describe different network standards and protocols. Describe wireless communication. And list and describe network hardware. In part 5, we want to focus on the last objective listed, which is to explain and understand networking logical model concepts. Let's now turn our attention to networking logical models. When hardware and software are created, hardware and software engineers need to understand how these devices and software should be programmed. And so to facilitate the creation of hardware and software, they are mapped to a logical model. So they use operating system functionality. As you know, when an operating system loads itself, many operating system programs load. These operating system programs or applications that load when the operating system boots itself are known as services. Services are applications or programs that are always running in the background of the operating system. A logical model is not an actual program. It's really a series of logical layers that define specific functionality for a device or for a piece of software. The Open Systems Interconnection, or OSI, model defines how network hardware and software operate. The OSI, or Open Systems Interconnection, model is comprised of 7 logical layers. And they are listed here on this slide. Starting at the very top with layer 7, we have the application layer, presentation, session, transport, network, data link, and physical layers. Note that they're numbered 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. The physical layer is always layer 1, and so on. Each layer's communication is standardized so that adjacent layers know how to communicate with each other. In other words, layer 7 has the ability to communicate with layer 6, and layer 6 has the ability to communicate with layer 5. Layer 5 has the ability to communicate with layer 4, and so on all the way down to layer 1. We could start at the bottom and say that layer 1, the physical layer, has the ability to communicate with layer 2. Layer 2 has the ability to communicate with layer 3, and all the way up like that through layer 7. And so if you were looking just to pick one at layer 3, the network layer, we could say that it has the ability to send traffic down to layer 2, the data link layer, and it has the ability to send traffic up to the transport layer, layer 4. The network layer also has the ability to receive communication from layer 2, and it has the ability to receive communication from layer 4. But layer 3 does not have the ability to receive or send traffic to any other layer, only adjacent layers. And so device and software communication is standardized using operating system services. And you might recall that a service is simply a program that starts itself when your operating system loads itself, when you boot your computer up. That's part of the process that loads a number of operating system services. Depending on device and or software, one service calls on the functionality of another service, and so on, to facilitate network functionality and communication. Now, when something is logical, this means that you can't find it to point at it and say, there it is. It's there, you just can't see or touch its substance. Something like gravity, if I were to try to explain that. An example of how hardware and software use operating system services is easily understood when we relate it to sending an email using an email client application such as Lotus Notes or Microsoft Outlook. The client application is installed on your computer. To send an email, you click to create and then click to send the email. This is all normal functionality that we do every day. The email client, for example, Microsoft Outlook, needs operating system services to take the email from what is seen on the screen to an electronic equivalent that can be sent out the computer's NIC. Many operating system services work together to accomplish this, but first, the email client must call one of the services to get the ball rolling. Which service is called doesn't matter for our discussion. And by calling a service, that means that we load it into RAM so that it'll operate. Services operate within an OSI logical layer. One service can operate in many layers depending on what it's doing. Services call on each other as the email works its way towards the NIC via the motherboard circuitry. The NIC calls on services to encode the email for transport out of its port or over the air through an antenna. Then, when the next device, such as a switch, a router, or even an email server, receives the email electronically, the receiving device uses its hardware and services to process the email. Now, let's take a look at each of these layers of the OSI model in a little more detail. And we start with OSI model layer 7, which is known as the application layer. Software on a device calls on OS services to begin the network communication process by converting the software's communication into a format that can be readied for transmission. For example, you click send on an email to start this process. Note, the communication is called data at this level. Your web browser or any network-enabled program goes through the same process every time you visit a web page. I'll leave it to you to relate this process to how your smartphone operates. No devices operate at layer 7 because this is where software works on the behalf of hardware. And notice that we started our discussion here at the top of the OSI model, layer 7 instead of layer 1. And this is because layer 7 is the layer that is closest to the user. Since we're using an email example here, this is where we need it to start. However, if our example centered around your computer receiving an email, we would need to begin our discussion at layer 1, which is where the electronic signals are received by the NIC. Next up is OSI model layer 6, known as the presentation layer. No devices operate at layer 6 because this is where software works on the behalf of hardware, just like layer 7. At layer 6, we take the converted message received from layer 7 and then further transform it for electronic transmission. Layer 6 also handles file compression, encryption when needed, and so on. If you email a compressed file, the compression type, for example zip, is handled here. Note, the communication is still called data at this level. At OSI model layer 5, the session layer, we have the management of asynchronous application-to-application communication. So you send an email to your friend. Services here record that an email program needs to receive this communication, and vice versa. The communication is still called data at this level. The term asynchronous means that the sender and the receiver do not need to communicate in real time at the same time. Email is a perfect example of asynchronous communication. In other words, I send you a message. You read it when you want to, and then respond in your own time frame. No devices operate at layer 5 because, again, this is where software works on behalf of hardware, just like our other two layers. OSI model layer 4, the transport layer. As previously, no devices operate at layer 4 because this is still where software works on the behalf of hardware. The TCP suite of protocols operate at this layer, as does another type of protocol known as UDP. And so the transport layer manages asynchronous device-to-device communication. In other words, when sending an email, services here indicate where a file and the actual communication begins. When receiving an email, the services indicate where a file ends and when the communication process should be considered complete. It also ensures that pieces of the communication are put in the right order, whether sending or receiving communication. Now, at the transport layer, the communication is now named differently, and it's called a segment, and it's encoded with information about the communication and instructions. OSI model layer 3, known as the network layer. At this layer, we manage asynchronous network-to-network communication. At this level, the communication is referred to as a packet, since services split the segment into manageable sizes and then further encode each packet with information that's going to be used by Layer 3 devices. A router is an example of a device that operates at Layer 3. Services prepare the packet for traffic by adding a header and footer to each packet. A header and footer are electronic pieces of information that are added to each piece of to each packet. Services inform receiving devices as to the packet's source, its destination, protocol, and so on. And so the Internet Protocol, or IP, operates at this layer. Routers use IP addressing, as you know. TCP, however, does not operate at this level because, as you saw, it becomes operable in Layer 4. OSI model Layer 2, the data link layer, determines applicable networking protocols for this packet and at the same time readies the packet for transport using whatever technology is supported by the NIC, which might support Ethernet, wireless, fiber optic, or a combination of those. Some examples of functionality at the data link layer are email, which will be sent using the SMTP, or Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. The computer's NIC uses copper cable and expects the communication to be encoded according to the Ethernet standard. You'll recall that Ethernet is the 802.3 standard. And finally, we note that the communication is referred to as a frame at this level. Now, switches and NICs are examples of devices that operate at Layer 2. And at Layer 2, the data link layer, MAC addressing is what's in play. So notice that at Layer 2, we're using MAC addresses for communications, which is where switches operate. And at Layer 3, where routers operate, we're concerned with IP addressing. At OSI model layer 1, known as the physical layer, the NIC takes the computer's digital electronic signal and transforms it into a signal that can be put on the NIC's media. And so, an email is translated into electronic impulses and moved from the NIC to the wires at the end of the RJ45 connector, which you might recall is at the end of a network cable, and then pushed across the entire cable length to the next device, which is usually a switch or router. Hubs, NICs, cables, and antennas are examples of devices that operate at Layer 1. NICs are said to operate in both Layer 1 and Layer 2 of the OSI model, but mostly operate in Layer 2. And finally, we note that the communication at Layer 1 is called bits at this level. And so at this moment in time, you might be somewhat overwhelmed by the OSI model and all of its layers and then the functionality that happens at each layer. And so there aren't acronyms around to help you memorize the layer order of the OSI model. And so it's easy to remember OSI model layer order using them. So let's review. First, at layer 7, we have the application. And then at 6, the presentation. 5, session. Layer 4 is the transport layer. Layer 3 is network. Layer 2 is the data link. And then layer 1 is the physical layer of the OSI model. And so we could use an acronym starting from top to bottom. All people standing totally naked don't perspire. So take a moment and look at that and notice that the A relates to the A in application. The P relates to the P in presentation. The S in standing relates to the S in sessions and takes it all the way down to layer 1, the physical layer, and we have in our acronym the word perspire. And so from top to bottom again, say it with me, all people standing totally naked don't perspire. Now you should also memorize the order of the OSI model from bottom to top. And a simple acronym here is, please do not teach students phony acronyms. And there are others, but these two make it easy to remember the order of the OSI model. So you might want to take a moment and review so that you remember the each of the layers of the OSI model and perhaps a one-sentence explanation as to the functionality at each layer. A deeper understanding of the OSI model is beyond our purview at this point. If you are going to work in routers or switches or servers, you would probably need to know more. But at this level, you'll be concerned with just a basic explanation of each layer of the OSI model. When we reviewed each layer of the OSI model, we noted that certain devices operated at specific layers. And so just as a review here, at layer 3, we have routers and then switches that also function as routers in operation. Such a switch is known as a layer 3 switch, and now you know what that term means. At layer 2, we have switches and most NIC functionality. At layer 1, we have hubs, which are obsolete devices, really, some NIC functionality, network cabling, and then wireless antenna. And so you may be wondering, why did I have to learn about the OSI model? Well, because as a future programmer and database expert, you need to understand how the OSI model relates to the medical world. In fact, the OSI model is found throughout networking and programming. So, many medical software and devices send network traffic adhering to a standard known as HL7, or Health Level 7, named after OSI model layer 7. And an example here is shown on the screen, an EKG image being transmitted from the machine to the patient's electronic health record, or EHR, would be encoded in accordance with HL7 rules, which are expectations, so that the receiving EHR database can be informed of the type of image, patient record number, equipment identification, supervising clinician, and so on. All of that would be encoded with this communication. In addition, electronic health record database software contains the HL7 encoding rules and is able to understand and act on the communication that was received from the EKG machine. So we could say that the EHR program uses operating system or OS services just like any other network-enabled installed software.